a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Andy Munoz of the RSL Show, and today we have a special episode. We've got At Between Clean Sheets, aka Cheyenne Foster. And so I have seen a few things that you've been doing online, and I really think that you're due at any moment to, whether a league picks you up, a network picks you up, or a team picks you up, I feel like you're on the verge of that. So anyways, I wanted to bring you on the show and just kind of talk to you, get to know you a little bit more, see what you're up to. And so Welcome to the RSL Show, Cheyenne Foster.
Thank you. Thank you. I was waiting for you to use the phrase glow up, which I am very overdue for. But I've been in the space mostly chatting with everyone else and giving my general opinions about soccer for a long, long time. I would say Between Clean Sheets, though, in a formal capacity and maybe a content machine is what I'm hoping it will be, feels relatively new. So I try to see it with fresh eyes. And when fresh eyes around the fan network see it, I also definitely pretend like I haven't been like fumbling my way through for a while, but I'm getting there. I'm due for something. But
yeah,
thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know, the interesting thing is, because we chatted a little bit about, let's like back up a little bit. So I've been following you on Twitter for a while. I feel like, you know, slowly but surely, people tend to kind of find each other, especially when you have something as niche as like MLS soccer, and then when you kind of niche down to like actually covering a team, which in my case it's Real Salt Lake, and in your case, is it still safe to say that you're like covering DC United or like you're all in on DC?
Yes, I am currently all in on DC, mainly because I still am locked into a several year contract as a season ticket holder. But having lived in DC for almost 10 years now, it's just been my default team. But because I'm such a fan of soccer in general, I would say at the risk of appearing plastic, every time I go to a different stadium to watch any two teams playing throughout the season, I will assume the fandom of, I don't know, whatever way the wind is blowing that day or whatever colors I'm feeling go with my outfit or whichever team has a good underdog story at that point. Or if I want to go hang out with their supporter section, I will be a full blown fan of that team. And people will say, I thought you liked DC United. What I want to say is at the end of the day, I just like that someone's kicking a ball. And I like the vibes. I like the atmosphere. And I like that soccer is getting more and more popular. So, but yeah, my hometown team right now is definitely DC United.
Yeah. And then we have to talk a little bit, and we'll kind of go back to like the traveling, because the whole reason that I wanted to bring you on this show was to talk about, you know, you're going out to Qatar and you're going to go to all these games and you're going to have this like really cool fan experience and you're going to maybe vlog the experience casually. I don't know. We'll talk about that. But in following you, that's kind of what I noticed. You're kind of like DC United at heart, but then I'll see you like rocking, you know, like a jersey in, I don't know, like Columbus or something, right? Or most recently, met you at the All-Star game, and obviously we're there for the league and the league's All-Stars or whatever, but you've been traveling and creating content around the league, which I think is awesome, and I don't really see anybody else doing that. So
right,
tell me a little bit about that. Like, how did this all happen? Because my problem right now, and I don't know if it's a problem or I'm probably just lazy. Me and the boys, like, we've been covering Real Salt Lake for the past like 7 years, and we're on a network, and sometimes I feel like we're super niche down, and there's been conversations about, you know, hey, we should expand to the league. So you see people like the Cooligans doing it and kind of, you know, breaking just beyond this niche of covering one league. So what kind of inspired you to not necessarily, I guess, like stay limited within DCU? Because I know you still, out of all the teams, I mean, from what I've seen, maybe that's one that you gave like the most love to, but now you're growing and expanding. So what inspired that, Cheyenne?
It first started with going to see DC United on the road. And as I'm sure many who pay attention to the league know, DC has not been doing so well for the past couple of years. So in my desperate search to find better soccer, A, but B, kind of maybe a better atmosphere, but also enjoy all these new teams that are popping up, new stadiums that are popping up, I have definitely continued to see DC United on the road, but I've also taken some time to go see the games that are starting to become the big rivalries or games that are the first ever at that particular stadium. You mentioned Columbus earlier. I was in Columbus 4 times last year, which it's a 6-hour drive from DC. So that sounds way more dramatic than it is. It's a city I really, really enjoy, but with the new stadium opening, the fact that that stadium also hosted a US soccer match, I mean, it's been something that I enjoyed first, but second, as I've created content and centered it around the fan POV, I've wanted to give people an idea of what to expect when they go to any given city, because what I want my community to be is nationwide and maybe even a global community, because if I were sitting in England watching Major League Soccer grow across the pond and wanted to know what it was like to show up to Allianz Field in Minnesota, I think I would enjoy, I'm going to say this as the person who created it, I think I would enjoy watching my vlog when DC played at Minnesota in 2019. And I spent a whole weekend there, went to bookstores, went to a Twins game, went to the stadium, like showed the stadium and my experience there. Like, I would enjoy watching that stuff. So that's kind of what it's blossomed into. And I don't feel bad for that reason. I don't feel bad for being super niche. I think you guys have an expertise and a history and a relationship with RSL that I wish I had with DC United, even after all these years. I think there's something about even this city that feels super transient. So that kind of mentality has just stuck with me and allowed me with work and then just with personal life wanting to travel. It's allowed me the desire or encouraged the desire to travel. So
very cool. So one thing that kind of blew me away. So when we were at the All-Star game and obviously like I was shooting and doing my thing, but I knew you were there cause you had tweeted about it and I like DM'd you and I'm like, hey, at some point come and say what's up, like come say hi, I got to meet you. And you did. And I remember one question that I asked you, I said, who's paying for this? Like who is sending you, right? Like who's sending you out here? Cause like, you know, with my experience of working like at a TV broadcast company for, you know, 2 years, you know, traveling is a big deal. It's flights, it's tickets, it's hotel stays, it's food, it's travel. And then on top of that, it's also getting like the press credentials and kind of getting like those hookups. When I spoke to you, I was like, who's doing this for you? It really shocked me when you said, well, I'm kind of doing it out of pocket, dude.
Yeah.
And if I get a credential, awesome. If I don't get a credential, I'm buying the ticket. So that is just like next level stuff. And I think I've commented this to you before. I've said, you are like the walking, breathing. If you want to, like, if you want to work in something, you just go out and do it. There's not a better example. So
how do I make it happen?
How and why? Because a lot of people, even myself, like, I would have loved to have gone to, like, you know, LAFC versus Philadelphia Union, but I just won't do it on my own dime. So, like, how, you know, I'm not saying, like, where do you get the money for this from, but, like, where do you get that inspiration and where do you get that drive? Like, how do you have this mentality that people wish they had?
So there's a couple of things. And as I've continued strategizing about content, price transparency is something that I would really like to include in some of the things I'm doing. Because I've traveled so much for work in the time that I've lived in DC, as I started Between Clean Sheets, I was just living the life on points that I had accrued from work trips. So I had built a loyalty to a specific airline and a specific hotel, and just for, oh my gosh, until maybe 2 years ago, right before the pandemic, I was using all of those points to go stay places for soccer travel. And it was a nice escape from my 9-to-5 because it's the creative outlet that I don't get in any other part of my life. And so the drive there was, it's an exploration in a lot of different ways, not just going to a new city, but trying something new, learning a new skill or hobby. And heaven knows, I think I've told you before that I used to cry almost every time I opened Adobe Premiere and
yeah,
to stick with it. And I've tried. I don't cry anymore, but it's still very difficult. So I'm learning, but that is how it really worked out for me pretty well to begin with. And now I would say almost all of my disposable income as a single working woman goes into this project, and I don't have any, luckily, no student loans. Very, very privileged to not have student loans, even after all these years. I don't have a pet that I have to pay for. I have been very strategic about my trips too, because you mentioned LAFC in Philadelphia. Man, that MLS Cup, I wanted to go so bad, Andy, but the flights just didn't make sense. There are some things that I feel I do miss out on. And you mentioned people like the Cooligans and other content creators, and even people that work for the league, that they go to the Cascadia Cup, they go to El Trafico, they go to the hot games. And I would really love to get to that point, but I have to be very strategic about where I'm spending my money. And All-Star was a great choice for me because it put me in touch with people like you, a handful of other people who have become really, really great friends and mentors to me as I've created content. And the weekend of MLS Cup, I actually chose to, and it's a video I'm working on as we speak, but I chose to take a midnight Amtrak train from DC to Georgia. And my family currently lives in Georgia, and got in on the coast, and then my parents picked me up and they let me use their car. And I drove a little bit inland of Savannah to a town called Statesboro, Georgia, where the USL League One championship was happening. Mm-hmm. And to me, again, a fan POV, American soccer experience, I would have absolutely loved LA and Philly, whole MLS Cup, etc. But I got pure unmitigated access to everything for that.
Yeah.
It was like, they let me on the field when the final whistle blew and I was just running around videoing people. And it's so funny because you see guys like yourself, big, nice cameras, know exactly what they're doing. And I'm sitting here with an iPhone like, okay, vertical or horizontal? I don't know, wide angle, like, but it's from my lens. So I think that like I said, being very strategic about what I'm doing, but I am paying by and large myself. There are some brands that have been very gracious to send me some things or pay for a couple of different opportunities. And that's been another part of this whole world that I'm exploring, which is growing my community with the help of different brands and choosing to work with different brands that are an extension of my personality and fit my community, which is difficult, but interesting and something that I'm enjoying figuring out for myself. But yeah. And you mentioned Qatar. That is, that's a big undertaking, something I've definitely been saving for a while though.
So a lot of the times when you tend to speak to, you know, content creators, it doesn't really matter which sport it is. I've been around them all, you know, basketball, soccer, baseball, football, all of those. Usually people try to, you know, they have like their own agenda of like where they want to go and what they want to accomplish. And, oh, I want to, well, you know, for some people it's like, well, I want to be like the most knowledgeable, or I want to have like the best podcast, or I want to have, you know, the best shots. I want to be like, you know, the number one videographer in my state, or, you know, in my league, right? So for you to say that this is more so fan experience and kind of, you know, going along with me on this journey where, hey, we're going to go to this game, we're going to figure it out, and we're going to also like take in the city. I think that's actually a fresh perspective on content. Right. And the other thing that I wanted to ask you is, so, you know, you're not just someone who's like, you know, going to stadium and hoping to get lucky and like, you don't have, it's not to say like you don't have the experience, because you do. I've seen interviews that you've done. Like, I've seen you sitting across, I think we'll agree on this, the best MLS striker in MLS history, Chris Wondolowski.
Yes.
Right? Our love for Wando is like, you're the only other person I've ever seen on Twitter like say like, yes, this guy is the legend, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll have to like talk more about that later, but talk about your experiences. What are some cool things that you've been able to do in your journey throughout MLS? And if I can selfishly just kind of ask you to talk about one experience, talk about the rendition, like the singing that you did in the Columbus Crew Stadium, because I want to know how that came about and why you wanted to do that. But then also like, tell me about some other cool experiences that you've done.
Okay. So I should back up, and you use the word cool. We're definitely going to tackle that concept in just a second. But the whole reason why I started Between Clean Sheets and what guides the fan POV and the content strategy, it makes it sound so much more formal than it is at this point. But I was just surrounded by people who loved watching the Premier League, and every 4 years loved watching the U.S. men's national team compete on the global stage, but they didn't realize that Clint Dempsey and the Seattle Sounders were like in DC that weekend. And so I started telling friends about the guys that were in MLS and started kind of trying to explain to them why it was worth watching the team in their own backyard. And I went to a women's college. My family are all BYU graduates. They, watching them live and die by that football team is quite honestly painful. But I don't have that sort of like love or affinity for a football team, a college football team, or honestly, an NFL team. So when I graduated and lived in DC, to have a team so close to me, DC United, to go and kind of make my own was really, really special to me. And so the plan with all the content is, by 2026 and beyond, I want to make what I enjoy and what you and I are working hard for, I want to make it popular, and I want to make it cool, and I want to make it something that people want to participate in. And for that reason, I have kind of thrown a ton of different ideas at the wall, and some of them stick, some of them don't. The flying out and hanging out with Chris Wondolowski and talking to him was incredible. And these guys are so gracious with their time too. I think they also realize what we're up against, but the gap between where we are and where we want to be. And there are some guys, I mean, even Drew Moore, who played for the Colorado Rapids for the past several seasons, just retired, had done like 17 or 18 seasons in MLS, has been around since, I mean, I was in like middle school. So to talk to him about the growth of it all, that was a conversation that I had for my little podcast that I absolutely loved. It's so nice to get that context because I haven't been around since 96. I wasn't one of those OG fans or people in the MLS community, but things like this piano ballad that I created and performed at the Crew. Now, I will say that was my biggest undertaking at that point. That was the hugest thing I ever did. I went out of my way to hire like a professional videographer. I wanted to do it right and I wanted to do it well. It was back in 2018, when the U.S. men's national team did not make the World Cup. I've been in an MLS fantasy league for, oh, I don't know, like 7 years now. And it is as nerdy as it sounds, but there are some former professional players in it, a couple broadcasters, guys that work for U.S. soccer. I think maybe they have more credentials or more of a legit reason to be there. I'm just a fan. But they were all really bummed, really bummed out. And 2020 brought up those emotions again for everybody, not being able to watch soccer, not being able to enjoy any live sports. And I have a bit of a Renaissance education. I went to college and majored in international relations and French, and then minored in classical piano. And I love playing the piano. So I had made this piano ballad version of the We Love Ya U.S. soccer chant. And I made it so sad and so moody. And I had sat on it for a while because I was like, how do you put that out into the world? And it just so happened that because I was going out to Columbus so many times last year and they were not going to be playing at historic Crew Stadium or Map Free Stadium anymore, I wanted to kind of close it out and give it what I felt like it was due as someone who has been to a Dos Acero game at yeah. Map Free. So yeah.
When you think of like USA games, you got to think of Columbus. That's like a historical site.
Yeah. So, and I should also say that a lot of the opportunities that have been presented to me are simply because I sent an email and asked. And the running joke for a while, especially when I wanted to do stadium tours, which have been kind of my bread and butter on my YouTube channel, I would just, MLS is a little bit trickier now. I don't think they have everybody's name and picture and email address listed, but I would just look up like the cutest boy. Find a picture of that. It didn't matter where on the totem pole they were because I didn't want to bother like the most important person. I would just like pick a young cute guy and be like, maybe I can just send like a really kind email and then send them links to some of my stuff and maybe they'll like they'll help me out. Nice. And I know, right? It's a strategy, but it's worked in a lot of ways. Sure. Reaching out to a bunch of young Major League Soccer staff or team staff that are just as eager and excited about the sport as I am, and when I present them an idea, they're like, "Yeah, absolutely, sure." So that's kind of what happened at historic Crew Stadium is now the official name. They very specifically told me not to call it Map Free, but that was, oh my gosh, it was fantastic. And I think because editing is such a hard task for me and something that I'm still really struggling to be good at, I just decided to fork over some cash and let someone who knew what they were doing film it and then edit it. And that is, oh my gosh. I mean, I would like to do more of that, actually. I've thought about it. I would like to create more piano, not necessarily sad, sappy ballads, because I tried to make that thing as absolutely dramatic as possible. I mean, I was looking off into the distance, like walking in slow motion, being so moody. I would like to do maybe something a little bit more lighthearted, but like Portland has some really, really great chants that are unique to their team. I would love to do a piano version of some of those.
I think you're onto something with that. I mean, you, and that kind of made the rounds because I think I'm pretty sure I wasn't talking to you then, but I had kind of like seen you pop up on like social media, but I remember one of my first memories was seeing you doing the ballad, and I remember thinking, I'm like, how did she like talk a team in? And you know, you kind of start researching and you're clicking and you're like,
yeah,
you know, you expect to click on somebody and like, okay, maybe they have like 100,000 something followers and they've got this pool and maybe that's why. Right. But you're teaching a really valuable lesson in the advice that I live by. And one advice that I literally throw out all the time is you don't get what you don't ask for. And yes. I think as young creators, or just in any profession really, or in life, no one's going to come and like no one from the crew was going to come to you and say, hey, can you, you know, sing on our pitch and
throw out this idea? Yeah.
Yeah. No one's going to be that proactive. So it's really cool to see you taking on that proactiveness. And I'm all for like the fan experience and taking that across the league. And I think, you know, I told you this at All-Star. I'm like, dude, you're going to go far. Like, it's a matter of time. Before, like I said before either a team, the league, or a network picks you up. You did some work with a network recently. You did like the fan experience up in, was it in Philly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about that, and you know, how are you hopeful to do more experiences like did you have fun working with? Because they sent out a team to like film you and chill with the fans and then watch the games, right?
Yes, so this was for Premier League in USA, which I feel blessed that I don't have a specific Premier League team. It kind of allows me to enjoy the league as a whole, enjoy the stories that happen from one season to another, and this year in particular, enjoy the two Americans, Brendan Aaronson and Tyler Adams, that play for Leeds. And I had been in contact with some people that I actually met at All-Star, and they were looking for someone to help be the face of their Instagram and their Twitter for the weekend when they did their fan fest up there. And it was close for me, an easy drive. And it was also something that I felt comfortable doing because I like talking directly to the camera. I like experiencing things in real time, in the same way that people near me are experiencing things, or I like making people feel like they're there, even if they physically can't be. Cause again, I'm hyper aware that a lot of the things I experience are just things that people don't have time or the bandwidth for, the money for. I even think of my brother, who's the one who got me into soccer, US soccer and MLS to begin with. And I mean, he has two beautiful children now and a whole house and a whole life that doesn't allow him to go to Atlanta United games as often as he did. So I try to make people feel like they're there even when they're not. So that was an interesting experience because it was Premier League, but also it was very focused on showcasing Philadelphia. Philly was going through their at that point, very exciting run. The Phillies were in the playoffs. Philadelphia Union were getting ready to go to the cup. Just the energy of the whole place was great. I could hear people and see people lining up for FanFest the night before at like 11 o'clock from my hotel room window. And I loved it. I really loved it. I hope more stuff like that happens, namely because I want to get some experience under my belt to figure out what exactly I can do. I mean, to your point, asking to do things is really hard. I understand why people have a hard time gathering the courage for it. And there are a lot of things that I have missed out on in the past because I've been too afraid to ask, or I've tried to go maybe too by the books or gone out of my way to formalize a process that, given how fast the sports industry moves, it does not need to be that formal. So things like that, and it was with NBC specifically, and Premier League in USA is obviously an extension of NBC and Premier League. But that was great because it helped me realize what their priorities are, what kind of content they look for, and how I can still provide my personality in that space. It was just, oh man. I mean, I think my call time was like 4:30 in the morning. And that's Premier League in USA, baby. Everyone's up early and watching games super, super early. But I really, really loved it. So if I could do that sort of thing every weekend, I absolutely would. I absolutely would.
It's a lot of fun. So I'm just going to kind of ask you like the generic question that I think a lot of women in sports get, right? Yeah. You see it everywhere, you know, baseball, soccer, football, all the sports. It's always like, you know, it's always around context of like, hey, you're leading and kind of paving the way. And, you know, it is true still in Major League Soccer. I mean, granted, there are, you know, I work with people at MLS who are women who lead the social, like media campaigns. They're on there, they're talking weekly, they're providing commentary. So for you, as a woman in soccer, I mean, I don't even view you that way. I view you as like, you're somebody knowledgeable and you know what you're doing and you're fully capable of everything. But, I mean, even for me, like people look at me and it's like, oh, he's a Hispanic in sports. Like people like to label things. Right. So what do you think you're doing for like a younger audience or a generation of women who would like to, you know, even maybe work in Major League Soccer or, what are you trying to do to maybe even captivate like a younger woman audience that can buy into soccer just as much as you have? Because you're not some casual fan, like you're hardcore. You're spending your own money traveling the country to watch all these teams.
You know, I think an interesting thing I encounter often is people ask me why I don't make more content about the women's league and WSL. And the U.S. Women's National Team. And it's, I think that both of those entities are growing at an unprecedented rate and doing really, really well for themselves, and have nowhere to go but up. But it's interesting to me that it's like the automatic assumption is that I would stick to women playing sports and wouldn't exist in the space that I'm in right now. And I think that when I talk to people who are fans but aren't terribly vocal online or aren't huge participants in their supporters community, I think it makes them feel really safe. I haven't had an opportunity to really take a good hard look at what my actions are doing for future participants or future fans. But I do know that the women who exist in this space right now as fans, it is like their shoulders drop and a smile comes over their face. And I always get the biggest hug from those women because sometimes we feel like we're on an island. And it's a really, I think soccer in this country is a lot more accommodating of women than some other sports fandoms are. But even still, it's really hard I think even just existing in this space and not having people to relate to can be really exhausting at times. And I even think about it from a content perspective. I mean, part of that Premier League and USA experience was having a crew follow me around, but it was an all male crew. And so those guys weren't going to tell me if I had something in my teeth. I don't think they were really thinking of it, but I feel like if I had kind of a female friend there, and it would have just made me feel a little bit more comfortable with looking out for the things that I would be looking out for if the roles were reversed. So I do think about that a lot. And what I'm hoping is, and I had a conversation the other day with someone who's like a FIFA influencer, FIFA content creator, and she's in the gaming space. And oh man, I mean, that is a path she is forging for sure. And I think it was really nice for her to sit and talk to someone for a podcast about it. And all I did was shut up and listen. And for her, that was, I think that's exactly what she needed. So those are the things that I'm doing. One thing I will say, one more thing, as if I haven't already said enough, but I really, as someone who is a huge mental health advocate in my day-to-day life, my audience is about 80 to 85% male on all of my platforms. I really, really go out of my way to create a welcoming space for men to share their feelings and for men to be vulnerable and for men to understand that the kind of patriarchy that we rail against a lot is just as detrimental to their well-being as it is to mine. And there are a lot of men who I have talked to about mental health over the past couple of years. And that's something that I would say, I don't talk about this much, but it's something that I'm really, really proud of, because I think so many, especially in sports, I mean, think about football in this country, there are players who really force themselves to neglect their own well-being, physical and mental well-being, just for playing time. And whether or not you played that sport, I mean, or anyone who's a fan of a sport or played any sport growing up has probably dealt with something like that, and just the competitive nature of male sports and how like just on steroids, it always feels, just so much testosterone. There's a lot of like feelings that people neglect and emotions that people don't process. And I try to create a space for people to do that as often as I can. So
that's awesome. You know, it's something that we kind of talk about on our podcast on the RSL show, is the realization of when you start to interview players and interact with players or even befriend some players, and you kind of realize like, oh, okay, these guys aren't just like mythical apparitions that just appear on a Saturday night to play soccer. These guys they've got social lives, they've got relationships, they have families, they've got feelings. They're reading what people are writing on Twitter. They're hearing what people are saying, right? So it is cool to kind of see like that wall breakdown and that stigma breakdown around mental health, and primarily like even in the NFL recently, like you're seeing like top tier quarterbacks kind of breaking down and acknowledging that they've got, you know, these mental health struggles. And I think you hit it right on the nail, especially in soccer. Soccer is such an aggressive sport in the sense where you can suffer an injury, and if you do, and if you don't suck it up and you're not out there for like the next game, you're potentially losing your piece on the squad to like the next person behind you. So sometimes they're playing through injuries, or they're just trying to survive, or they've been on loan. They don't want to move around to a different club. It could be very daunting. So I think it's cool that you're opening up that conversation, and I'm excited to see what you do with that. I think that could be a cool series that you could work on with maybe some players, just if we're exchanging ideas in any kind.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
One thing, so, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you're going to hop on a plane tomorrow.
In 22 hours, I will be on a plane. Gosh. I know.
Okay. All right. This is the whole reason I wanted to bring you on. So Qatar, you're going to freaking Qatar. You're going to the World Cup.
Yes.
Which is amazing. Given the opportunity, I would love to go. However, if I'm being completely honest, I just don't know if I would want to go. It's like 50-50. It's not the best
one to make my first World Cup. I'll say that. I'll admit it.
Yeah, of course. But you said something yesterday when we were kind of like talking about getting you on the show. And we have, you know, we're pretty opinionated on it. And there's some things in the media that have blatantly like kind of been ignored, but like, we know, you know, just to get it there, and then the work that kind of went behind it, and just the things that people don't really want to bring to light. But like you said it, you're like, okay, all these things are happening, but the entire world is going to tune in and watch this competition.
Right.
That's a whole different subject. We won't tap too much into that, but I want to talk about your commitment to the freaking sport. That you held a poll on your IG, and let's start with that. So
yeah,
you're going to go to all these games, and I'm not going to give away the number right now. I'll let you do that. But what are you feeling going into it's still crazy. It's mind-blowing that you're going, and again, out of pocket.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about why you're going out there, how many games you're attending, and what you hope to accomplish by giving that presence.
Okay, so when the idea of going first popped into my head, it was because I was thinking about 2026, and I thought it might be nice to go to a World Cup and experience that before I, as an American, and we all as Americans host 4 years from now. It wasn't really until it was like too late to turn back that I thought, man, this is actually going to be the most unique World Cup that we will probably ever see, because it's in November, December, because it's in as small of a country as it is, because of all of the ruling about alcohol, because of the culture. I mean, just packing for this trip and realizing that I wasn't going to be wearing shorts in 80 degree weather, I would be wearing pants the whole time, is different. And then also, yeah, the political ramifications, the fact that Qatar got it under some very unethical circumstances, their bid was awarded. I feel that as I've thought about my participation, my love of the sport, and wanting to go to support the U.S. men's national team, I recognize that in a world of conflicting beliefs and things that are constantly at odds with each other, this World Cup, especially after 2020 and a lot of, I think even the MLS players who are going and playing for some of these Central American nations who they are so proud to represent, but I mean, they were stuck in America away from their family and unable to have any of the things that would have made them feel at home or comfortable during that time. And then they had to go play in a bubble tournament. I mean, there's just so many different global happenings and circumstances that, to me, my decision to participate is in honor of those sacrifices made by players so proud to represent their country and going so much farther in every aspect of their life and of their willpower and work ethic, et cetera, than I ever could, going so much farther to make themselves ready and available and capable of participating in something like the World Cup. And I remember talking to someone the other day when they were announcing the roster, the two of us were like, honestly, I don't really care what the formation is. I don't care. I don't really care how it looks. I mean, I have an affinity for a guy like Paul Arriola, who was with DC United for a while. So I'm bummed he didn't make the squad. But at the end of the day, like, MLS versus non-MLS players on the squad is whatever. I'm not going to shout into the void about that. I'm just glad that we're going and that there are guys who have clearly worked hard enough to be there, and I'm excited to go cheer them on. So that's it. I'm definitely going to all of their group stage matches. We obviously don't know what happens after that, but yeah. Are you ready for the actual number of matches?
So and break down the poll, because you did an IG poll with your followers, and you're like, all right, guess how many games I'm going to. So right. Tell me like what the, if you can remember, you don't have to exactly pull it up, but if you remember like the poll results and then what your the guesses were.
Yeah. Right. Sorry. I had to like get perfectly situated for all of these figures. So I've got a great community on Instagram, a very engaged community. So whenever I have polls or ask for people's opinions, they do give it. And the question was, because I was very interested, I felt like I had announced that I was going to the World Cup in a bunch of different formats, but because it was either on stories or a tweet, which gets buried so quickly, there were a ton of people that had no idea I was going. So I asked if people knew how many tickets they thought I had to matches. And in my bio and on Instagram and Twitter, it has how many days I'm going to be there, which I believe 17 days total. I'm leaving December 6th, so I'm missing the main action at the end. But I did kind of like, how many you think? 1 to 3, 4 to 6, 7 to 9, 10 or more? Like, what you thinking? Oh my gosh, most people guessed like 4 to 6, which, by the way, we talked about this. That's a pretty normal number. Like, that's a normal number of tickets. For anyone.
That would be like, I mean, if I had 4 to 6, man, if I had 4 to 6 games, I'd be like, well, you know, like, I can get hit by a bus tomorrow, I'm good. Like, that's going to be a lot of fun. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and that's what I would have guessed. Because that would be before the tournament started.
So yeah. Yeah. After.
You don't want to go to like Qatar and Ecuador and then be done. That would be such a bore. So I've got my list right here. And this list has 14 matches on it. Wow. Since this list was texted to a friend of mine who is also going, my buddies actually secured me tickets to 2 more matches.
Jeez.
And the thing is, when they Venmo request me, which it's such a like, it's a jump scare for sure. When they Venmo request me, they're such nerds. They put the match number. They don't put the who versus who. So I have to go to whatever FIFA's website is and be like, okay, match 42. Okay. Wow. So I think the last two, one of them is the Iran-England game.
Oh, cool.
So I'm getting a lot of that particular group. Wow. I'm going to every USA group stage match, like I mentioned.
Awesome.
Some of the other teams, you mind if I read them off?
Yeah, break it down. Yeah, tell us. Okay. I'm just curious to know, are you going to go to Argentina, Mexico?
So I would love to.
Oh, that would have been like, man.
The lottery for that game has been really, really tough. However, StubHub, and the thing is, once you're there, you don't have to prove that you deserve to be there. You really only had to have one ticket in order to get your Haya card, as they call it. So my thought was, once I get there, I could just like wait around and see how low those ticket prices drop, because I would really, really love to see that match. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't we all? So that's the thing, is I think for the casual fan and someone who's just really excited about going to the World Cup, I think this list will be pretty impressive.
Yeah, still. I mean, dude, 16 tickets, like,
oh my
still,
gosh,
it's,
yeah.
It's a freaking win. All right.
And I will say, like, the 1A versus 2B match, who knows?
That'll be cool. Yeah.
What that's going to be like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Break it down. Let us know, like, what are some of the games?
Yeah, so let me hold it up here.
Cool.
I've got France versus Australia.
Awesome.
Germany versus Japan.
Awesome.
Germany versus Japan, I believe, is the first one of that day. And then later on that evening, I will be going to Belgium versus Canada. So,
awesome. Great game, too.
Yeah.
Canada's like looking to prove it, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Switzerland versus Cameroon.
Great.
I've got Tunisia versus Australia and Denmark versus Tunisia. So I'm hitting that group pretty hard. Yeah. I've got Belgium versus Morocco.
Sweet.
I have Korea versus Ghana.
Ooh.
And then I have Australia versus Denmark. So these, there's a couple groups, obviously, that aren't there, aren't covered in the group stage. And one of the last conversations that I had with some buddies of mine was essentially like going over the windows of availability I still had, because, by the way, some of these tickets, we really splurged on the USA group matches, which I've also got the 1A, 2B, and 1E versus 2F, some of those like TBD games in the round of 16. But I think there's one game on here where I am just in the stadium and the ticket costs like $70.
Oh, sweet.
So, okay, cool. Yeah. So my thought was, if I can make that happen for any other game, or heaven forbid someone's flight gets super delayed and they have to throw their tickets on StubHub, I'll go.
Last minute, yeah.
Here's the thing. What I haven't mentioned yet, this is the main point. If I am spending my time and money leaving my poor parents, who until about 3 weeks ago, it had not occurred to them that I wasn't coming home for Thanksgiving. If I'm leaving all of that behind, and if I am flying out there, paying to fly out there, paying to stay there, I am going to maximize the experience to the absolute best of my ability. And for that reason, I picked a couple of different lodging options. I am doing a fan village. I'm doing a hotel. I'm doing an apartment. I'm trying.
The fan village. Looks amazing, by the way. It looks awesome. You're going to please make some video content in there. They don't snatch your phone away or make you delete it. You know?
I feel like the more I heard about how Firefest-esque it was going to be, the more I kind of really was like leaning into it content, which I mean, for your dollar, maybe it's probably the worst value. And I think people would be really, really, really pissed. But to me, I'm like, if I can just capture myself here and give people not just a picture of how dingy it looks, but like live and breathe this for the people who decided not to go or were not able to go, I'll take it. Yeah. Honestly, the content of it all is really, really exciting to me, because that's something I'll be able to look back on and share with maybe my kids one day, share with my family, who obviously will not be joining me, but also kind of show people what they're missing or what they can participate in when it comes in 2026. So
let me ask you a quick question regarding that. Actually, this is what I wanted to do. So real quick, because you're talking about the content, where you're going to find, like, you're going to post it, all that. So where can people find you? Like, list off your YouTube, your IG handles, and your Twitter handle, or any other.
Yeah, of course. Everything is BTWN Clean Sheets. And that's obviously between, but it's on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. If you type in Between Clean Sheets into YouTube, you'll find it. I did just create a website to kind of house all of those links in one place, or kind of information in one place. But I also have a podcast that is the Between Clean Sheets podcast. So I've got 3 episodes out right now. Had a really great conversation with another Munoz of the great States, who you said you have no relation to, which is a total bummer. Cause she's great. I really, really like her.
Jennifer Munoz. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Former Liga MX player, former, player for the Mexican national team. And she was,
she played for Chivas. Was it Chivas? I want to say, or was it Club America? Hang on.
I think it was Club America.
Okay. I don't want to disrespect her like that, because she is amazing. Club America. Yeah. My bad. My family has ties to Club Chivas. Like, I have a great uncle who played for Chivas de Guadalajara, or Guadalajara Chivas.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, as a defender, but this was back in late 40s,
the glory really days. We'll call them the glory days.
If you ever go down there and you want a stadium tour of Guadalajara, I have a cousin who's pretty still closed in tight with the club and works for them, and he's always just touring my family nonstop. But that's awesome. So I got really excited when you started talking about Munoz and Liga MX.
BTWN Clean Sheets. That is it. I don't have a Patreon or a newsletter of any sort, but I think I have all of the visual mediums covered, and definitely I didn't feel like there were enough podcasts out there, so I started one of those.
Where does Between Clean Sheets come from?
So it is kind of a play on between Two Ferns, the Zach Galifianakis show. I don't attempt to be funny, but my humor is very dry. But the idea was I wanted to make content, but I didn't want to be beholden to the post-match reactions or to get things out super quickly. I wasn't looking to analyze rosters or give you any sort of analytical breakdown. Those are things I love to talk about with my fantasy league. But I really wanted something that was just more lifestyle focused, obviously fan POV, as I've said 100 times, but it gave me in my mind, because I was like, the name must match what I'm thinking. I was like, it gave me the kind of flexibility to post between games, between the weeks of the season. And so, between clean sheets, is where I landed with that. Now, I didn't play goalie. I think I played as a keeper in AYSO when I was younger, but nice. Y'all, I was like 4'11" until my freshman year of high school. So I was not going anywhere with that. And I played like left mid and striker in high school and college, but I want to lean more into the clean sheets part. And I've got a couple of content ideas that I think are cute, yeah. But I do know that my mom and dad are so kind to follow my stuff and share it with their friends. And I mean, bless their little boomer hearts. They always tell me when their friends are like, "Oh, what does that mean?" Like, they think it's something nefarious. And I'm like,
I never thought of that.
I never thought of it either until I posted a video to Reddit one day. And then they're like, I was really hoping this was something else. And I was like, my mind was not even there.
Yeah, that's funny. That's the first time I've thought of it that way. Hey, so you're like, again, you're a self-funder. Fund, and I know you told me to like literally not bring this up, but we have to. So you've got followers who are like, "Hey, like we want to help out. We want to, you know, throw you some cash to like help with like expenses," or like somebody said, "Hey, let me like send you $10 for coffee or whatever." Coffee.
Yeah. Which it was not, it was so much more than $10, but it was so kind. I think
being a creator who would love to go on endeavors, like, you know, what you're mentioning and go out, like, the fact is, I mean, every human being on the planet Earth, like, you know, that if you don't have the funds, things become substantially more difficult. So I know you didn't want to do this, but I definitely want you to just like throw your Venmo out, or I'll find it, I'll post it, I'll link it or whatever. Cause I think that, if people are willing to donate to this, like, "Hey, you're going to give us a fan experience and we can follow you," and I contributed to that. Like you said, there's always other people who have like Patreons, websites, donate, whatever. Just don't even think it. What's your Venmo name? What is it? What's your handle?
It is Cheyenne-Foster.
Okay. Is it a photo of you?
Probably. I think because I take a lot of selfies for soccer related things, it's probably a selfie. But
all right.
Yeah, I was an early adopter of Venmo, so it's my full name without any sort of added characters. But yeah, that I actually, it's very kind of you to mention it. It's incredibly kind. The people who have, it's almost like I'm really looking forward to the content you're providing, and I know that it wouldn't happen if not for the amount of like money and work and effort you're putting in. So let me just help out a little bit with it. And that was, I mean, it's so very kind. It's incredibly kind. And I think more than anything, more than the dollars, even the recent conversation that I had that you mentioned, it was just really nice to know that someone was looking forward to things that I was going to share with them. So that was really, really, really meaningful. So you can tell I really do it because I like it. And not because I'm making money off of it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think it would have stopped a long time ago. So,
So it's like, you know, and everything makes a difference, right? If it's like $5, $10, $100, $1,000, whoever like wants to be super ambitious. I think it's a real cool path that you're on, Cheyenne. I really think I admire your drive. You're somebody that I've met where when I think like I've got things figured out, like with content and cameras and all the stuff that I produce, I feel sometimes like I've arrived in a way, but then I look at people like you and I'm like, oh, I'm like, dude, you could be doing way more. No. Like you could, you know, get motivated. And so I think you're providing a really cool value to fans who follow you.
Thank you.
I think you're providing value to like the league itself and for like the newcomers.
Wait, wait, say that louder so that the league can hear.
Yeah, somebody at MLS hire Cheyenne.
Don't even hire me. Just like let me go hang out in stadiums.
More interviews, more access. Yeah, yes, something like that. Yeah, well, I got to think of like somebody who I can like introduce you to. But thank you so much for hanging out with me here at the RSL show. I don't have my whole crew, and I'm really bummed out that you weren't able to make it out for the RSL game. I know you had like a family emergency. It was one of your, was it your grandmother?
Yeah, it actually, I should say it was the most, maybe serendipitous is not the right word for it, but I try to, especially when DC comes out, I've come out for games that they've played at Rio Tinto because I have family out in Utah and I love hanging out with them. I love the stadium, but the trip had been on the books for a while, and a week and a half before, my grandmother, who we buried in Idaho Falls, she passed away. And it was, I mean, talk about money. I mean, the rest of my family who lives out in Georgia and some of the other family members of my mother's who had to fly in were spending so much just on the flight. And I felt so blessed that that was something that I had already planned months before. And of course, yeah, the game was, I missed the game. I think that life happens. And of course, with the way I've felt about DC United as of late, it might've been a blessing in disguise, but it was actually really, it felt like a spiritual moment, for me to have it work out the way that it did, because it brought me a lot more peace, but it did remind me that I need to come back, because the whole plan was to tour the academy, to do some game day stuff, to talk to some local businesses, because that area has grown so much.
I remember we had like planned it where we were going to give you like stadium access like through the RSL show to kind of, and I told you, I was like, you don't even have to like mention the RSL show, just go do your thing, like here's a pass. And I'm sorry to hear about your grandmother. And I remember I followed up with you and I remember you saying like, no, it was actually like, you know, it was a good thing to spend time with my family and just kind of connect with them. And so We'll make sure that the next time DC comes out, RSL, we'll make sure we trudge you everywhere. If you don't see my hat, Callejeros, Calle is a brand that Nick Raimondo and his partner started. They opened up like an indoor soccer facility in Utah, and their whole the whole existence of that is they want to free the game, quote unquote, meaning that they want to make it more accessible to children whose parents necessarily don't have the funds to, put them in like these elite club levels.
Right.
They want to grow the game and give everybody a chance, which we know has been a big issue with U.S. soccer in general. So the next time you're in town, we'll take you to like Park Cafe, which is like the best breakfast spot out here. We'll get you access to RSL Rio Tinto. We'll take you down to Calle. We'll have you talk to everybody. And it's just been awesome having you here. And one more thing. I'm just going to throw an ad out real quick. So for people listening to the RSL show, we have an event coming up at Calle where we would love to see you guys. It'll be, let's see. Calle is nice enough to not only let us use their facilities to do a live podcast, but they're going to let us do it while they are hosting and showing the England versus USA match Friday, November 25th at 12 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Come out, hang out with the RSL show. We're going to do a raffle of different Real Salt Lake prizes and a raffle of Kaye gear. So come out, have a good time, and just don't even come out for us. Watch USA versus England, which hopefully, Cheyenne, you'll get a, you know, you'll get a ticket to that. Or did you say you have a ticket to that match?
Oh yeah. Every USA group stage game, which if they scan the crowd, I don't know how much they'll want to show the fans, but this jersey behind me is the one I'll likely be wearing. So,
oh nice, what jersey is that?
Oh, let me actually grab it really quick.
Yeah, grab it. Yeah, this is another talking point too. You have like this you tend to find or get your hands on like the most like rare old yes. kits.
And actually, I think if sorry, go ahead.
And I think if you're going to follow Between Clean Sheets, it's again, it's at BTWN mm-hmm. Clean Sheets. Literally just follow her for like the classic jersey drops, because she literally gets her hands on these like old kits from like the 90s. And they're yes. just awesome.
So actually, and this is timely, because one of the first time I ever had any interaction with Nick Raimondo was tagging him in. It was a shortly after 9/11. It was a commemorative jersey that had a Statue of Liberty patch, and it had his name on the back. I took the photo and I tagged him, and he literally messaged me. He's like, "Where the heck did you get that from?" I was like, "I just have a friend that has been around for a very, very long time and has a good collection." Nice. He let me wear it, and ever since then, I've wanted to talk to him more about his time here. But this particular jersey I got at MLS All-Star at that store, Talisman and Company. But
oh, cool.
It is the 1995 third kit.
Awesome.
So, yeah, awesome. It's, wow. It's the that other thing, too. Yeah, yeah. I always say this. I'm always trying to plug for an audience with more women in it. I do work really hard to make jerseys, which are weird items of clothing, by the way. I work really, really hard to make them look good and as part of a comprehensive outfit. Yeah. I think men use jerseys and like very loud, exciting, bright, unique jerseys because they wear them as the statement of their outfit. And for me, I try to make the jersey an accessory, because it's kind of all about what I'm doing with my content, which is like incorporating soccer as a part of your life, not just going to the game, but enjoying the city that you're in and what it has to offer and the game. So I do really try to do that. This one, I don't know what I've got some options.
That is
I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but I'm definitely.
I know you'll usually do like, you'll do vintage jerseys and like a skirt or like shorts or something. So this time
mm-hmm.
it's got to be with jeans, right? And guitar.
Maybe. We shall see.
Hey, don't push it. Do not push it. I don't want to like, see secrets. You. Yeah. I don't want to see you in like jail or something.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, hey, is there anything else that like I didn't touch on that you would want to either, you could plug something, you could talk about something, closing statements. This time is yours to do so.
That is such a nice thing to do, to give me the floor like this. And I'm fumbling the bag, not having anything. But I do think that I am like so many other people in this space, Andy, you would definitely agree, that are just trying their best to do, to promote soccer for so many reasons. My reason being that I just want people to enjoy it the way that I do. And if there is anything that anyone has an idea about or recommendations on or input on, I am always open to that sort of thing, because I know that I'm not the greatest creative mind, but I also, so many of the great conversations that I have with people and the opportunities that I have to wear vintage kits come from people that have been fans longer than I have. And the there's no gatekeeping that exists on my platform. There is no hierarchy. I am just like you. And I want to provide what people are excited to share with their friends and casual fans of the game. We have to rope everybody in. MLS is not cool right now, but it will be.
Oh, so. It's getting way cooler than it was just even a few years ago.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Also I remember, you're totally right on that too. So if you don't remember, you might remember. So for people who don't know who the heck I am, I got my start not only with like the RSL Show podcast, but in 2020, I created a fake soccer club called Saltair FC, Saltair Football Club. It grew a following. It's still on Twitter. I don't advertise it or push it as much as I used to because I never wanted it to be like a clothing brand, but that's what it turned into. Long story short, guys, there were hats, sweatshirts, jerseys. But I remember I hit you up because I know that you did that. I'm like, hey, I know she like likes to get stuff and open it up and like, and she's good at it.
Yeah.
And so you helped me promote that brand. And I think I hit you up and I was like, hey, here's a few shirts. Here's like this, that. Can you do something? I know I didn't even ask you to do anything. And you like created this whole cool video that I was able to share.
I did. I actually went to the beach with the gear.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's a whole thing at Saltair FC. It's, I'm first to admit right now that it is dead because that was just my creative outlet. But that also, when you do stuff like that, that's literally what got me in the door with Major League Soccer. So like I'm a video editor with them. All of these things that we do just for like the love of soccer, the passion of soccer, you never know where it's going to take you. And I've already said it, Cheyenne, you're going to go places. I'm just like waiting to see where it takes you. And hopefully it's in that form that you're wanting to stay in of like, hey, I just want to give everybody the best fun experience, even if they're not out here enjoying it with me. Yeah. So Cheyenne, thank you so much again for your time. Everybody follow at Cheyenne Foster at Between Clean Sheets. And, just become her friend, become her loyal follower. And if you feel so inclined to, just support her on her trips. And that's pretty much it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Cheyenne, anything else?
A huge thank you. A massive thank you. Appreciate
awesome.
It.
Well, with that, we will conclude. Thank you guys so much for listening to the RSL Show. Thanks for being on here, Cheyenne Foster. Good luck in Qatar. Please be safe.
I'll try. I'll touch base with you guys after. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, definitely. We'll follow up with you in Qatar and see how things are going. So thank you so much for hanging out. Have a good night.
Take care.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading Doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
needs.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.